This is News Talk.
And of course, as you can imagine, it's Brexit and it is COVID-19 that are making your front pages this morning. We'll begin with the Irish Times this morning and some hope, particularly for publicans and for people who are looking to get pubs reopened. The pubs, of course, that don't serve food, because they tell us this morning on the front of the Irish Times that the Cabinet is to approve the reopening of these pubs in 2 weeks' time. It looks like September 21st could be the date when pubs reopen. Obviously, this all has to be discussed by the National Public Health Emergency Team. They're saying they shouldn't reopen pubs before that date, but it is looking, perhaps, I don't want to tempt fate here, but for people who want them reopened, it looks like it could be around the 21st of September. Of course, they've been closed since March, and one cabinet minister saying it's not going to be business as usual. It certainly is not going to be like what we're used to in our pubs, but that would be positive. The cabinet is expected to agree the reopening date at their cabinet meeting today. Now, that's, of course, provided that they don't get sidetracked by Brexit and all of the other things they'll have to discuss. Tipperary publicans, by the way, are going to be protesting outside Leinster House later, we're told in the Irish Times today. And public health officials are suggesting that counties where there are high incidence rates of COVID-19 may not have their pubs reopened, but that has been played down by some sources. So we could have a bit of a battle here between public health officials saying X county, the cases are too high, don't reopen the pubs, and then ministers and politicians in those areas saying, well, hold on a minute, every other pub in the country is allowed to reopen, why can't the pubs in our county? I have to mention, by the way, just this stunning picture that's going viral on Twitter. It was tweeted by Kieran O'Malley at Galway Player, but just it's to do with the front of the Irish Times, I suppose, and the reopening of pubs. An absolutely heartbreaking picture of an elderly gentleman who was in a pub, McGinn's in Galway. And obviously we all know that you have to keep an eye on the clock and see if you're overstaying your welcome with the 105 minutes. But this man, this elderly gentleman, instead of bringing a phone with him, the picture shows that he has an actual alarm clock that he brought with him, and he's pictured sitting looking out the window with his pint and his food and an alarm clock, keeping an eye to make sure he goes over the 90 minutes. I mean, if you tried to explain that to someone a couple of years ago, they would have thought you'd lost your marbles. Just incredible. Also on the Irish Times, this is a really interesting story, and in fairness, some people had predicted this. With the Leaving Cert calculated grades, the lawyers were going to be busy, and as Carl O'Brien says this morning, they certainly are busy. Lawyers have reported a surge in queries from parents and teachers in fee-charging and grind schools who feel they lost out under the new calculated grades process. Many believe the decision to drop school profiling, which you may remember was dropped last week, where it didn't matter the historic performance of the school, that didn't have as much of an impact on a student's grades, but they believe that this was unfair, and now they're contacting the lawyers, and lawyers say that they're getting, one lawyer speaking to the Irish Times, we've been getting lots of queries on this from parents and teachers who saw fewer top grades and lower points than they would have expected. So there we go. It'll be a busy time in lots of legal offices across the country. Staying with schools, on the front of the Irish Independent this morning, we are told that classes are continuing in full at some schools despite confirmed cases of COVID-19, and some parents and teachers unions are worried about this. And of course, we were told when the reopening of schools was happening that they would be led by public health advice. So if there was an outbreak in a school, in a particular class, you go to the public health team. So the principal, the school, the board of management doesn't make the call. Instead, it's up to the local public health team, and they say, yeah, lock down the school, lock down a particular class, or just take certain children out of class. And the Irish Independent tells us this morning at least two schools have continued classes as normal after there were confirmed cases of the virus. And now the ASTI says it would continue to pursue the matter vigorously. That's the whole area of more information being given to parents on cases, you know, in schools. Parents want more information, apparently, because they might have vulnerable people at home. I will say, what the government's position on this is and what NPHET's position on this is, you follow the public health advice. So it's not up to the school to say to the whole class, you need to go home here. But that's maybe not reassuring for some parents and teachers out there. I did tell you that Brexit is on the front of a lot of the newspapers this morning. The Irish Examiner has an exclusive interview with Taoiseach Micheál Martin. Daniel McConnell writing here that the Taoiseach has insisted there's no danger of a border returning to the island of Ireland, despite the risk of a no-deal trade, no deal on Brexit. And speaking to the Irish Examiner ahead of today's cabinet meeting, where his government will approve its doomsday Brexit memo, that's obviously how do we deal with a no-deal Brexit on the 1st of January, Micheál Martin said he is concerned a deal has not yet been reached. But obviously we have Leo Varadkar describing the leak as sabre-rattling, that the UK government is trying to change legislation around the deal. Micheál Martin said that he's concerned about the lateness in terms of the lack of resolution in the talks. And Micheál Martin warns us all, Brexit hasn't gone away. It has the potential to have a profound impact on jobs, on the economy. We'll talk a little bit more about Brexit shortly with Vincent McAvinney. The Telegraph this morning, just to look at it, says that the Brexit divorce deal is contradictory and must be rewritten. That's what Boris Johnson is going to make clear to EU leaders today. He believes that the withdrawal agreement is legally ambiguous and he's worried about Northern Ireland. He says Northern Ireland would be left isolated from the rest of the UK, and he says that's something that was unforeseen when he agreed to it last year. We'll move on to the Irish Times. I'd be interested to see how you feel about this one. It's a very interesting decision if it goes ahead. The government is drafting up new laws which would allow criminal defendants to get compensation if their trials are delayed. Under the European Convention on Human Rights, suspects are entitled to a fair trial, and that includes a reasonable time frame. And as any of you have any experience with the court service in this country, unfortunately, the way things are, it can take a while to get to trial, no matter what sort of case it is, really. And the average wait time for a murder or rape trial last year was 14 months. That's up from 11 months in 2018. And wait times for trials for other serious offences were up to 2 years in some parts of the country. And now the government is looking at giving compensation to defendants who have to wait to go to trial. That's in the Irish Times this morning, you'd assume because of legal costs and things like that. The Guardian has an interesting front page story this morning that robots are going to be brought in to UK care homes to talk to elderly residents. The robots are called Pepper and they move independently and they have limited speech, and it's going to provide a little bit of company for people in UK care homes. Be interesting to see if that comes in this country. The Irish Independent this morning tells us that Spain is rushing through a law to protect the rights of staff who work from home. This is an interesting one for people in this country too, because obviously so many of you are now working remotely. Obviously a lot of us are back to the office too, but there are plenty where the deadline for going back to work has been extended and extended and extended, and we don't really feel like we have the rights or the laws in place for remote working because it's all so new. You know, none of us probably thought last year, if we're in an office job, that you'd be working remotely this year. So Spain's going to draft up laws to protect people working from home. Here's the interesting bit of it. The law would compel companies to pay for home office equipment such as computers, but also it would rule out the use of webcams. I mean, I think so many people now spend much of their day on Zoom and Skype and all those other things, Microsoft Teams and all of that. Well, apparently using a webcam affects your dignity as a worker, so it would rule out the use of webcams. I don't know how practical it's going to be if you're working remotely not to have webcams used. And also in Spain, workers shouldn't have to use their own PCs. And the reason for this is that some workers might have a better PC. They might be able to afford a better computer than someone else. And the person with the better computer might be put at more of an advantage. And the laws on remote working are being particularly drawn up because of women, because they are worried that it could worsen the glass ceiling, because it might be more attractive to women, is what they're suggesting, to work from home because there may be other commitments at home. That's fine. But then are they at a disadvantage compared with someone who's in the office and maybe has more of a chance of getting a promotion? Just interesting to see if any government departments are looking at remote working here. We do have a big plan. I remember Heather Humphreys was drawing it up, but I don't know if they looked at the legalities of remote working and how you give some protection to people who are working from home. Final story I want to talk to you this morning about is in the Irish Daily Mirror. And it's about how we cheer ourselves up and what's good for the soul. And I think you should maybe have a think about this and text me 53106. What's the number one thing you do to cheer yourself up? Apparently saying I love you is the number one thing. And also seeing your loved ones laugh hysterically. Now, I have to be honest, if I wanted to cheer myself up, that's not the thing I'd be thinking of, but that's number two. A survey also found that being forgiving and doing random acts of kindness are the third and fourth best ways to banish the blues. God, we're all so pure, aren't we? I mean, it's interesting when it's a survey like this. If you were to answer the question honestly, you may not say, oh, saying I love you was the number one thing. But anyway, I'll run you through some of the top things that are good for the soul. As I say, number one, telling someone you love them. Number two, watching loved ones laughing hysterically apparently cheers us up. Number three, people surveyed say, number three, forgiving someone cheers me up. In fourth is doing a good deed. Fifth is being around positive people. And sixth is stargazing apparently cheers us up. Some of the other quirky ones in the top 30, rubbing a dog's belly, an afternoon nap, and a bubble bath with candles. 53106 if you have a view on that. Okay, now we are going to talk about Brexit shortly. They are, of course, the stories making the headlines in today's papers.
On 106 to 108 FM and newstalk.com. This is Newstalk.